This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com welcoming you back to Economics 101, that program where we break down the real economic news behind the phony economic headlines. And joining me today to help do that is the one and only Gerald Celente, the trends forecaster at TrendsResearch.com. Gerald Celente, it's a pleasure and an honor to have you back on the program. Thank you for joining me today.
Oh, it's always great being on with you, James.
Well, I wanted to go over today the unfolding foreclosure crisis that we've seen coming out in the last few weeks, with just fraud going on at seemingly every level of the system. Tell us from your perspective what's happening and what we can actually do about this.
Well, it's just another piece of criminal activity coming out of the banking system. And it's always the same story. At first, they deny it. They say it's nothing, and then it's all just a little minor slip-up, and then as you start looking deeper into it, you see how deeply the fraud spreads. It's fraud closure, not foreclosure, and it's only, again, another element, and people should expect this from a banking system that rips off the people at every level. Let's look at the deal here. Let's be realistic. Where do they borrow money? For almost nothing rates from the Fed, the big banks, and then charge these ridiculous rates to the people that are borrowing it. You're 2 seconds late on your credit card, and they slap you with a 30% interest rate. Who can get away with that? Only in a criminal society, that's who. So as we see this unfolding, we're going to see it take a very heavy toll on the already sinking real estate market. Look at the numbers, James. New home sales just came out. Oh, they brag that they went up in this year of what Vice President and propaganda Joseph Biden called, quote, the summer of recovery. Oh, yes, they went up, those home sales. They're only 22% below that terrible 2009 level. So this fraud closure is going to have an even more dramatic effect on the sinking real estate market. It's going to seize up a lot of properties that would have been sold. And of course, you're going to see many more foreclosures clogging the system and worsening a bad situation.
I'm afraid that you are correct there, but it brings me back to the old, I think it was Joseph Stalin who said, one person's death is a tragedy, but a million is a statistic. And it seems like one person's foreclosure is a tragedy, but a million people getting foreclosed on is a statistic. And $1,000 being stolen is a tragedy, but $1 trillion is just a statistic. It seems like there's a different level of culpability and a different level of just a criminal system for people who are operating at fraud at this type of level. What do you think about that sort of breakdown in the rule of law?
Well, listen to the words of the criminals in chief. What did we hear from Lloyd Blankfein, the CEO of the Goldman Sachs gang? He calls what he's doing, quote, God's work. What did a handful of these banking criminals and, quote, investment firms, how much are they cutting up so far? $144 billion with a B? If you put that number out there, that's equivalent. That ranks number 49th in world GDPs out of 194 countries. And then listen to that money junkie, that guy who's the head of the Blackstone Group, Stephen Schwarzman, crying those crocodile tears that he may get hit his firm if the tax rules change and they have to pay more taxes. Quote, he said it's the equivalent of Hitler invading Poland in 1939. Roll this guy out on the couch and bring a shrink out to get into his head. You want to see a money junkie supreme comparing World War II, the slaughter of tens of millions of people, a tragedy that gripped the world to this little slimy piece of garbage complaining that some of his billions may be cut away. That's what's going on. There's a total disconnect. This is why the French invented the guillotine.
Well, those are some strong words, but we at least have a chance in the next couple of days. I guess there's a midterm election coming up in the U.S. What do you think of the prospects of that for getting any sort of change to the system?
Well, there'll be a change. It's like bringing the Bonanno family in to take over where the Gallows got just thrown out. Republicans, Democrats, Gallows, Bonannos, Iceberg, Greenberg, it doesn't make any difference at all. It's the same criminal group. Look at the money that these guys are raking in to run these so-called campaigns. Campaign contributions, my neck. How about calling them bribes and payoffs? Nah, the changes will be minimal. The things they'll argue about won't make any difference. Meanwhile, the big crimes will still go on. Look who's paying them off. The lobbyists are already lining up for the new speakers of this and that in the House and the Senate Majority Leader making their deals. It's business as usual. In the hub of criminality, Washington has hijacked Wall Street and the Goldman Sachs gang, the Merrill Lynch mob, the Citigroup criminals, and all the rest of the money junkies and criminals and crooks in charge are just going to be cutting the same old deals, just doing it with different guys.
Well, it's a cynical viewpoint, but I think you're absolutely correct, unfortunately. So I guess that raises the inevitable question of what type of solution, what type of recourse do people who are actually undergoing this and are actually having their property foreclosed on, what can they do to combat this?
Well, you know, if they're terribly in debt, and of course the people are guilty as well. You know, we all go through ups and downs in our lives, and they bought into the big lie and the big line that prices would only go up. I mean, I knew average Joes and Jills flipping condominiums in Florida at pre-construction prices. So people, you know, are getting a lot of their problems that they brought on themselves. The thing to do now, we think we're entering into an economic winter that's going to be among the harshest in American history. And for people to really batten down and get healthy, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Don't spend an extra dime that you don't have to. And really start buying into quality. It really makes a difference. Everything you put in your mouth and in your mind, make sure it's filled with nutrition. Turn away from that garbage on TV that they call news and those anchors and the rest of them that are a disgrace to humanity because they suck up to the hires so they can keep their jobs. So the average person, you know, I'll just speak for myself. You know, I don't spend beyond my means. And as you well know, I've been investing in gold for decades. And we see gold, just follow the dollar. There's going to be a devaluation of the dollar. It's going on. As the dollar becomes cheaper, gold prices keep going up. But again, you know, let's go back and start, you know, cooking at home. You cook from scratch and start getting jobs that are really meeting what you really love to do. And here's my message to all of America. The only way this country is going to come back is if we put America first. And I'm no protectionist guy and I'm no xenophobic character. I travel the world. Matter of fact, I'll be off to France next week. And I buy products from other countries that I believe in. But we have to bring production back home and support your local producer of any product that they make. Break the chains. Until we break the chains, we're never going to have real freedom in this country. And that means spend a couple of bucks more on a high-quality piece of meat that's grown locally. Stop eating that mass-produced junk that they call food. Look, James, a couple of months ago, they recalled, what, a half a billion eggs with a B from these chicken coop concentration camps? Anybody that eats those eggs and gets sick, as far as I'm concerned, you know, look at the hand that feeds you. And I don't want to get fed by Auschwitz Farms poultry out in Iowa. So there are a lot of things people could start doing. And it really starts at home, and it starts local. I was just doing a radio show from Rutland, Vermont, and they were telling me how wonderful this new store that opened up that just has buy local in it of everything that could be made. So people need to put quality instead of saving a few pennies.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I think absolutely the solution starts locally, and it starts with each of us getting involved in our community. So I wholeheartedly support that line of thought. And broadening our scope a little bit, I understand you just released the autumn edition of the Trends Journal at trendsresearch.com. Tell people a little bit about the latest edition and what they can find in it.
Well, the Trends Journal is a magazine, 28 pages this edition, and it's a look at where we are, how we got here, and where we're going. And it's really very much focused toward planning ahead and preparing for the worst times to come. Anybody that thinks there's a recovery and believes in the lines that their politicians and these shills that are selling all kinds of stocks and mutual funds, et cetera, and wealth creation, if they follow them, we believe they deserve what they're going to get. And it's also a very powerful message of this Trends Journal is that the American Renaissance has begun. We're going into a dark age. It's going to get a lot worse. But already, just as that last dark age was followed by a renaissance, we believe the American Renaissance is underway already. It's about quality. It's about beauty. It's no longer about the bottom line. It's about building the quality of life and a rebirth of going back to what was great in America. And this isn't nostalgia. I'm not a rose-colored glasses kind of guy. But for example, all those little kiddies, I saw the show on 60 Minutes about how they graduated college and they can't find jobs. You look at these kids. Most of them are way overweight and sedentary. There are hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, and they're living home with mommy and daddy, all these amazing and special kids. Get them out of the house and have them start a new homestead program. When I talk about rejuvenation, go into the older cities of this great country and look at all of those beautiful buildings that are going into dust and into the ground. Let's save them. We don't have to build one new thing in this country. These kids could buy these buildings, James, at a price that mommy and daddy is paying for their lease on their car. That's how desperate these cities are. And to start a new homesteading and revitalizing this country. That's only part of what's in the Trends Journal.
Tell people how they can get a copy of the journal.
Very simple, trendsjournal.com. That's trends with a plural, trendsjournal.com. And we also have a discount request page there because we know people are going through very difficult times, unlike these Washington and politician people that talk about recovery and how everything is so smooth out there and it's going to get better. So we offer discounts for those people that can't afford it. There's a discount request page, and we try to make the Trends Journal available to everyone.
Excellent. Well, Gerald Celente, always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you again for joining me today.
Hey, thank you, James.